Right, we are now up for some information items on the Habitat and Access. We have a fair amount of individuals going to be joining in on that. John Canta, Paul, a couple others possibly.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, and Secretary Roebling. It's my pleasure to introduce the next topic on your agenda, Habitat and Access. And Secretary Roebling and others in the department talk a lot about Habitat and Access, and I will tell you that that will be the top priority for the department moving into the future here. In fact, Emily, as she presented our revised strategic plan, you saw that Habitat and Access is one of the four priorities that are in that new plan. And so really what it comes down to, it, everything revolves around habitat as far as we're concerned. It means more wildlife and fish, and that certainly means more opportunity and plays right into our R3 efforts. And of course, access along with that is more opportunity as well. And when we talk access, we're wanting to access, of course, private lands and then landlocked public lands to provide more opportunity there. So at the direction of Secretary Roebling, we've developed an internal document that will really outline how we're going to move the needle on habitat and access in South Dakota. This is a process that we've went through. Myself and Paul Coughlin and John Lott and others have led that charge. And we've taken staff input. We've had some meetings with staff, talked with staff, emailed back and forth, and took a lot of good input on where we should go with habitat and access in the state. And then we did narrow that down to kind of a core group of staff and worked with them to develop this internal working document to how we want to move ahead with habitat and access into the future. And so I'd like to turn it over to Paul and Jason, and I'll allow them to kind of hit on some of the high points and give you guys a good picture of how we intend to move ahead and move that needle on habitat and access.
Thank you, John. I'll go off first here and then turn it over to Jason. So I think probably the most important part of this idea of moving forward with habitat and access as a priority, I think one of the things we recognize as an agency is that in order to successfully deliver that promise of private land habitat and access, we need to have people that are going to deliver it. And so one of the things that you'll notice about our efforts moving forward is we're going to be reprioritizing some staff, FTE, and actually adding private lands habitat biologists to each of our regions. Currently, we have four private lands biologists, one in each of our administrative regions, our wildlife division administrative regions. And the idea behind our efforts is to put three people on the ground in each of those regions. The idea behind having more capacity, if you will, human capacity to deliver programs, is that one of the keys to being successful with private lands habitat work is building trust with landowners and building trust in relationships with partners. And by having staff, more staff dedicated to that, this allows those biologists, those private land biologists, to focus their efforts on a smaller geographic area for one thing, and work to establish those relationships with landowners and partners to help deliver habitat on the ground. So one of the big things, again, is you'll see an increase in capacity, the presence of Game Fish and Parks private land biologists working with landowners across the state. With that, as many of you know, our department supports efforts, particularly with the organizations like Pheasants Forever, where we help fund Farm Bill biologist positions. You heard about those yesterday when Emmett Linehan received that award, and there are a number of Farm Bill biologists that were present at the meeting. Our agency helps fund those positions, and through this increased emphasis on habitat and access, we want to expand the opportunity that exists with Pheasants Forever and perhaps other NGOs to put more of those farm bill biologists in USDA offices to not only assist landowners with signing up for programs, conservation programs, but also to help us as an agency sell our habitat and access programs. So again, one of the more important aspects of a successful private land habitat program is having the right people in the right places and making those folks accessible to landowners who have an interest in improving or developing habitat. And of course, along with it, there's going to be a need for identifying additional revenue sources to help fund our habitat and access program. Things like the habitat stamp will do great things with regards to something like fully enrolling our Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program in the James River Valley. But there's also opportunity that exists with our private land biologists working with partners across the state to not only leverage funds that we would bring to the table, our funds for our habitat programs, but also to better secure funding to programs such as the Farm Bill programs. We can serve a role as private lands biologists in helping facilitate bringing conservation dollars to a local area and target conservation needs, habitat needs at a local level. So the idea is, with this plan, let's get staffed up, let's get the right people in the right places to go and knock on doors with landowners and talk to landowners about habitat and access, and let's give them the resources that they need to get that done, the money to get that done. And we're going to continue to work as an agency to do that because it is such a priority. This is, of course, revolves around our terrestrial side of things. And, Jason, I'll turn it over to Jason now to speak about the aquatic side of habitat and access and how that's incorporated into our renewed effort and renewed priority as an agency to focus on these initiatives. Jason?
Jason, you're muted.
Probably going to have to log out and get back in yesterday. Change your mic maybe, Jace? Last thing is going to come back in.
Everybody hear me now?
Welcome back.
All right. Am I unmuted? Am I live?
You're good.
All right. Perfect. Sorry about that. Thanks, Paul, for the lead-in. Thanks, Mr. Chair, Commission, Secretary Roebling, Jason Harris, Aquatic Habitat and Access Coordinator here. And so I'm going to give you an overview of the Aquatic Habitat and Access Plan. It's a little different than what Paul, we're not working so much on private ground, especially on the habitat side, more focusing on aquatic resources on our existing lakes and waters already out there. And this plan, essentially, we have two plans that we're going to be looking at. And I'll start with aquatic habitat plan. The purpose of the aquatic habitat plan is a dynamic tool going to guide our aquatic habitat and access biologists and other staff on how to properly or better manage aquatic habitat resources out there. We have four management areas, essentially follow the wildlife management areas. We got Northeast, Southeast, Missouri River Corridor and the West River Black Hills areas that all have distinctly different aquatic habitats, whether it be prairie potholes, small impoundments, natural waters, lakes and streams. So this tool is going to be just to guide, give some guidance on how to properly or better manage those resources, especially now that we have a better or more dedicated funding source in the habitat stamp that gives us a lot more leverage of funding with partners and whatnot, and be able to see projects that staff have wanted to do and put on the ground for a long time, but just it hasn't been able to happen. We have kind of three main focus areas of the plan. And the first one is large-scale restoration. You've heard us talk a little bit about maybe doing a large restoration on Lake Albert, taking and doing all kinds of work on there, in lake and out of lake and the watershed type work there, a large scale, very expensive project and take a lot of time to do. We'll be looking to hire specialized engineering firms to help us to make sure we're successful in what we do in those watersheds. The second focus area is small-scale habitat and access projects. And, you know, they're not necessarily a small scale, but there may not be as large of investment in need as a large-scale restoration. But some of these types of projects are stream restoration work. We've already been doing a little bit of this out in the hills on different segments of streams, on Rapid Creek and whatnot. Habitat structure placements, we've been doing a little bit of this, but we're going to start ramping up that where we're taking either Christmas tree projects, mossback structures, which are artificial habitats, and placing them around fishing piers to concentrate fish and provide better success to our angling public out there. Access development, looking at improving what we have. Can we add any access developments, maybe the vault toilets, or taking a primitive ramp and increasing it to a concrete plank ramp? Or is there any areas or water bodies where we can add new ramps that have one for access? Fish passage and barriers is another example. The list could go on and on with this, but those are just a few ideas of what we're looking to accomplish. And the third focus area is our dam repair and maintenance. You've heard a lot about that in the past. We have a lot of state-owned dams that have been neglected, and we're going to be looking at repairing those and getting those up to in better shape. Some of the issues and challenges with each of these focus areas is we're going to be using things like sedimentation, point, non-point source inputs, excessive nutrients, algae blooms, increased flooding events, fish kills, aging waters, and degraded habitat. With those areas, this plan talks a little bit out and gives some guidance on how does a project idea get submitted up for consideration? We're looking to have project ideas come out anytime. It's not going to be like a one certain time that these projects we're going to be looking at. Whenever a project idea comes up, we want it brought forward so we can look at it, consider it, and evaluate it. And best way is to take it to the area aquatic habitat and access biologist. They'll get it noted on the list, and we'll start looking at those project ideas and making them come to fruition. We'll evaluate each of those project ideas that come out based on location, proximity to state parks, what kind of partnerships are there. You've heard several ideas of partnerships already. And what we've heard from other states that have programs like this is having buy-in, local buy-in and partnership and support, those are the successful projects out there. So we're going to take a hard look at those and raise those higher up and try to work on get those done. What's the fishery potential there? What water quality do we have existing? And is there any grants or outside funding sources? Project timeline. A lot of these projects need a lot of work and a lot of engineering work, so it's a little bit slower getting them on the ground. But we can hire either our own engineers or hire outside firms that are specialized in these areas. They'll help us get these projects out the door quicker. And a lot, because we're working in water, we have a lot of permitting and clearances, so that kind of puts a little bit of a hold on the timeline. But if we get the plans done in a timely fashion, we can get the clearance and permits done and get the projects out the door. and also taking advantage of grants and partnership timelines as well. With that, that's just a brief, real quick overview of what's our aquatic habitat plan. We're developing an aquatic access plan. There's a couple different approaches out there already on access. On aquatic parks has a version. The Wildlife Division is doing some work on aquatic access areas. But we're getting a group together. We had a meeting on Wednesday to kind of lay the groundwork, put a committee together. So how can we address new developments and the maintenance of any new and old developments in a better fashion? So that's what that plan is going to be looking to address, and that one's just getting going in earnest. So if that's a quick brief overview of aquatic habitat and access plans, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jason.
Any questions or comments from the commissioners? Tom.
Mr. Chairman, sorry, I didn't mean to budge in there. I do want to make a few more comments, if I may, from the department.
Absolutely.
So thank you, staff, for giving that overview. Job well done. And our staff have worked very hard in putting these concepts and approaches together. I just want to reiterate and stress a couple of things on this overall approach. Yesterday, as part of the strategic plan update, shared with you the four priorities or four main goals of the department. One of those is habitat and access. And while that's certainly a department goal, I'm here to tell you that that's the number one priority for the Division of Wildlife, which includes both terrestrial and aquatic. And we are taking a very strong strategic look in that, and you have some of that information in front of you. As a number one priority, we are going to do our very best, which means repurposing not only manpower, but also financial resources within the division to do more for habitat access. With that, as Paul talked about, we want to add those private land biologists, 8 more. Our whole thought on this is to create those teams out there that are going to be working collectively and collaboratively together. We've got our private land biologists, we've got our conservation officers, we have our specialty biologists, whether it's a big game biologist, an upland game biologist, waterfowl biologist. We have our wildlife damage specialists, we have fishery staff. We have a multitude of staff that are out there that are very well-versed in habitat access. They have the abilities and capabilities of working with and talking to landowners. So our overall approach is not just going to be adding 8 more biologists that are going to work with landowners. While that is going to happen and will make them more effective and efficient, but our approach is to build teams within our agency out there at a local level that's going to be going to and working with landowners out there. That's our number one objective to this. And our diverse in the various programs that are out there, and we're going to rely very heavily on those new and additional private land biologists to implement those programs. And with this, it's not just talking about our own programs within the agency, but programs that are available from other conservation partners, whether that is through USDA and the Farm Bill program, whether that is our NGO partners out there, whether that is the Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources as another state agency. A plethora of folks out there, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, this is going to be a collective effort in putting habitat on the ground up there. Another key part is going to be working with the Second Century Habitat Board and as a key partner, not only getting the word out there, but also going after additional funds to do more habitat on the ground. Paul mentioned it, we're going to be very active and aggressive going after funds that are available out there for programs, even if the funds do not come through our agency, but to utilize those funds to put on the ground working with landowners out there, both habitat and access. I can tell you there are going to be some changes internally in structure for doing this, right? But to us, this is one of the most exciting things we can do. We're ecstatic about these opportunities that come before us and working with landowners and putting habitat and access as our number one priority within the Division of Wildlife. So we have some more work to do. We've got bodies in positions to fill out there, but we're excited what this could bring. And we're looking forward to the opportunities of working with more landowners, having built more relationships and trust, as Paul alluded to and described, and what those end products are going to result in. So we're excited about these opportunities. We look forward to the challenges that come forward with this, but what we're looking for is those end results, and we believe that we're going to have some really positive things that will result from this, and look forward to working with more landowners across South Dakota. So with that, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, we'd certainly try to answer any questions that you may have. Just want you to understand that this overall approach is building teams and going to the landowners, meet them, have those conversations, and see what we can do to more habitat and access for our hunters, anglers, and other folks out there across the state of South Dakota.
Thank you, John. Any comments or questions from the Commission? I applaud the department's efforts when I got on the commission about 5 years ago. It was one of the things we had just gotten involved with the habitat program, and I was fortunate that I knew some people that could really, you know, help me walk through all the hoops you have to jump through to get some things going. And in talking to the folks out there, there's a lot of people that had interest in doing habitat type programs. They just didn't know who to talk to or if there was enough people out there to even come and help, because I know at that time we were limited on resources, and putting the amount of people I see being added and the amount of money we're going to put at this effort, I think is outstanding, and it will really make it a lot easier for landowners out there to get involved and set aside some of their property for habitat, which, as everybody knows, is key to keeping the future of our wildlife intact. So I think it's a great effort. Good job by the department, and I look forward to the successes yet to come on fully staffed. So thank you. Good report. Next up on the agenda